Each week, Valerie Brown Kucherov brings us Little Spouse on the Prairie, the show where she pokes affectionate fun at her husband, her kids, her home, and her rural life, even though she loves them all fiercely, maybe a little too fiercely.
I've been thinking about libraries. Even some of the tiniest towns on the High Plains have them. Those libraries might be located in the back rooms of city offices, converted church basements, defunct stores, or even former homes. No matter how humble the venue, these places can serve a variety of community purposes. Far from being outmoded by modern technology, public libraries are actually broadening their scope. Libraries now provide meeting spaces, crafting areas, exercise rooms, technology hubs, robotics club memberships, cooking classes, and essential oils demonstrations. I've hosted baby showers at my library. A friend of mine got married in hers. I know from experience that a person can still check out books, too. When I was a rural kid growing up on a farm, my family did not own a television. Everything I knew about the outside world came from books. We had a surprising number of them lying around our farmhouse. The books weren't there because my family members were exceptionally academic. No, they were there because my grandfather, who was something of a hoarder, had purchased them at a school auction. Maybe I inherited my love of buying other people's cast-off junk from him. Grandpa had bought the school's entire library of novels, encyclopedias, atlases, nonfiction textbooks, the works. These books were stacked in boxes, floor to ceiling, in our unheated upstairs bedrooms. I spent a good deal of my early childhood in those rooms, paging through the tomes. Hey, you know, without TV, cell phones, iPads, or video games, a person can plow through a phenomenal number of books.
Shh.
Despite the quantity of books in my home, I still considered it a huge treat to visit a real library in a nearby small community. My younger sister and I would ride along when our mother drove to get groceries, usually every couple weeks, and she would drop us off while she shopped. Not only did we feel excited by the prospect of fresh reads, but we also got a little thrill at being left without parental supervision for a short time. One of the coolest things about checking out books back then was looking at the little card tucked in the manila-colored pocket inside the covers. Perhaps a novel I picked out had been read by a much older, cooler girl. Her signature on the card might be loopy and sophisticated, and I would imitate her fancy handwriting with the hearts dotting the I's. Or maybe a boy I liked had read something on my pile. Now, if that didn't give a prepubescent girl a buzz of excitement, I don't know what did. Forget Snapchatting and Instagramming. Checking out the same book that my 8th grade crush had read 6 months earlier sent me over the moon. With digital library checkouts, we can no longer tell who has read the books we take out of the library. People must rely on their imaginations, which seem to be diminishing at the same rate as the great glaciers. Soon, there won't be anyone left who once examined names on a card before checking out a book, motivated to find one that had been read by a crush or an older, admired student. Gone are the days of knowing with certainty who has pretty handwriting based upon a signature on a small, blue-lined card. The young child no longer painstakingly signs that card, proud to be reading such a big book. And furtive teens don't have to feel a moment of shame when they check out a racy volume, knowing their names are forever immortalized on that telling white card. Libraries are changing, and my nostalgic self longs for a quiet place to read and a moment of liberation from the fast-paced world we live in. Nevertheless, libraries are still hanging strong. Despite the ubiquity of internet sources, I still order a sizable portion of the text I need for teaching and learning each semester through interlibrary loan. There's something about a page that makes things stick. I know I'm not the only one who finds details by remembering, okay, that fact was on the lower left-hand corner of a page about a third of the way through, the heading was in orange, oh yes, there it is. Shout out to all the small public libraries of the High Plains. Thanks for connecting us with one another in so many ways.
Little Spouse on the Prairie airs at the same time each week. It is a production of High Plains Public Radio, written and voiced by Valerie Brown Kucherov, with production assistance by Ron Rolfe, Angie Hafley, and music by Kelly Wirtz. More Little Spouse on the Prairie episodes can be found online at hppr.org under the Programs tab.